Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
In Genesis and again in Leviticus, there's very specific scriptures that state that the blood is sacred and that life is in the blood and that belongs to God. So we want to respect that and be obedient to that. So that means Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept blood transfusions.
Ms. Justine LeClaire, she's a Jehovah's Witness in Cumming, Georgia, speaking on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. A story there about a bloodless form of surgery that Jehovah's Witnesses can do since they do not believe blood transfusions are biblical. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 15th of July. On this Monday, we're going to start out talking with Rob Bowman, a director of research for the Institute for Religious Research, about Jehovah's Witnesses. Why is it that they refuse blood transfusion? Is that simply a quirk of teaching? Are they a Christian sect? What in the world do Jehovah's Witnesses believe in general? A little bit later, Chris Roseborough, host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith, is going to join us. You may have seen this in the news. A major evangelical seminary, Fuller Theological Seminary out in California, very influential in the last 25 years of American Christianity, has sanctioned a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered student club. Now, their policies still speak against homosexuality, but the club is sanctioned by the seminary. We'll see what Chris Roseborough has to say and have him explain how it is that a bastion of American evangelicalism has made what appears to be at least a very large symbolic step toward the toleration of homosexuality. And in hour two of Issues, Etc., Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will join us. We'll talk about an inscription that has been found near Jerusalem's Temple Mount, allegedly 3,000 years old, that would date it to the days of King David and Solomon. It's supposed to be some of the earliest alphabetical written text ever found in that site. We'll find out what it's all about in hour two of Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Rob Bowman is a regular guest. He's director of research for the Institute for Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's authored several books, including Why You Should Believe in the Trinity, An Answer to Jehovah's Witnesses, and Putting Jesus in His Place, The Case for the Deity of Christ. Rob, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
Many people know of Jehovah's Witnesses probably only in the occasional news story about a blood transfusion or the refusal of a blood transfusion, and they might conclude that Jehovah's Witnesses are just kind of a quirky version of Christianity. Is that how you would describe them?
No, that is not how I would describe them. It's worth noting that for about half of Jehovah's Witnesses' history, they did not take this position on blood transfusion. They didn't adopt this view until 1945, but by that time, they were already well-established as a thoroughly heretical form of Christianity, and by that I mean a form of Christianity that doesn't believe what Christianity historically has taught. For example, they denied that Jesus rose physically from the grave. They denied that Jesus' second coming was going to be a literal return to this earth. They denied that Jesus Christ is Almighty God in the flesh. I mean, we could go on and on. So theologically, in terms of their basic doctrinal beliefs, they are not biblically a sound form of Christianity.
I want to come back to those basic doctrinal beliefs in a minute, but first fit this puzzle piece in there. What is it, as you say, something that's rather late in this particular religion's development? What is it that makes them refuse blood transfusions? What's their rationale?
Well, in the 1940s, they came around to this position that somehow accepting or giving a blood transfusion was a violation of biblical prohibitions against the eating of blood. And there are a couple of references to this, one in the Old Testament in particular, and then one in the Book of Acts, that they use as a basis for claiming that God strongly disapproves of blood transfusion. Now, one thing that the recent news story does not reveal is that you can and you will be kicked out of the Jehovah's Witness religion if you give or accept a blood transfusion. It's not a matter simply of an individual choice, although, of course, ultimately, in some sense, it is, unless you're a child. But it's a matter of the organization's strict policy. You can be kicked out and you can be shunned by your own family members if you participate in the giving or receiving of a blood transfusion, even if it's to save a child's life.
So how does that...
Now, there's no biblical basis for this. The biblical texts are not talking about blood transfusions, and we could get into that, but the bottom line is that this is a doctrine that they came up with. It's part of a consistent pattern of Jehovah's Witnesses over the years, adding a bunch of rules, man-made rules that are not really in the Bible, that have sharply distinguished them from the rest of their culture, and that's part of their identity, is we do things differently. We don't think the same way about pretty much everything the rest of the world thinks about.
So if you were to step back from that consistent pattern of inventing new doctrines, inventing new rules, how does it fit within the history of Jehovah's Witnesses, and how does it fit within their theological viewpoint, this consistent pattern that you speak of?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses is a religion that claims that they are the one true form of Christianity on the earth, that true Christianity basically disappeared for all practical purposes from the earth for most of what we call Christian history, until Charles Taze Russell in the late 19th century started up the Watchtower magazine. And only people who associate with the publishers of the Watchtower magazine are true Christians who are following Jehovah God, who are following Jesus Christ, and they are the reinstitution of true Christianity. As such, they're going to be different than everybody else. They're going to have their own set of rules. They're going to have their own set of beliefs. And so the more different than they can be from the rest of people in their culture, especially from other Christians, the more they stand out and the more that reinforces their idea that they are the only true religion.
So take us through some of those basic, historic, creedal beliefs of authentic Christianity that are rejected. Let's start with the Trinity.
Well, we can start with that, although I wouldn't necessarily start with it if I was talking with a Jehovah's Witness, but I don't, you know, that doesn't mean we can't do that here. Basic Jehovah's Witness theology maintains that Jehovah God is a single, solitary person, the Father. He alone is God. He alone is deserving of worship. He alone is to be regarded, accredited as the creator of the universe. However, Jehovah God, his first and only direct creation was the person we know now as Jesus Christ. He was Michael the Archangel. He was his sort of right-hand man that God made. And then God empowered this super angel, Jesus Christ, to make everything else with Jehovah's power and approval and blueprint. So he was, and they've used this analogy, Jehovah God is like the master contractor and architect, and Jesus is like the subcontractor that did all the actual labor of creating the world. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is not a divine person at all, but is a force that Jehovah God has in his own being, and that he uses or emanates or something like that in order to get things done. So, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that God is omnipresent. They don't believe that he's present everywhere. But through this force that can emanate from his being, he can know what's going on other places, and he can do things in other places. But he's not literally present everywhere, as Christianity maintains.
By what reading of the Bible do they come to these conclusions?
Well, there's a combination of two or three different strategies that Jehovah's Witnesses use to come around with these doctrines. One is, in a number of key places in the Bible, they simply adopt a different translation, or in some cases a different text, based on if the variant in some Greek manuscript serves their purpose, they may adopt that variant, or they may simply offer their own or some other idiosyncratic translation of the verse. The most famous one of these is their rendering of John 1:1 as, "In the beginning the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, little g, to make Jesus Christ into a semi-divine, lesser or inferior deity. So they will mistranslate verses of the Bible to support that. They will also misinterpret verses of the Bible to make it fit. So when you can't mistranslate it to fit, you just misinterpret it. And so, for example, in John 20:28, when Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," the Watchtower was not able to come up with a plausible translation of that verse that read any differently. So they left it alone, but they interpret it to mean that Jesus was being regarded as Thomas's sort of secondary level God, or maybe Thomas wasn't even talking to Jesus when he said that. They have different explanations that they've tried.
So connected to their teaching on the Trinity, Jesus obviously not divine, a powerful, is he human in any sense?
Jesus was created before the physical universe as a spirit creature, as a being of spirit. He's a super angel. Then he came into this world as a human being. He was just a human being, no more and no less, not a divine person incarnate, but simply a human being with the life force of that created angel transferred into his physical body. Then when Jesus died, he was not physically raised from the grave, but he was again recreated, because in Jehovah's Witness doctrine, when you die, you cease to exist. Jesus was recreated as another spirit creature with a spirit body, but not a physical body, and he is in heaven now, and he'll stay there for the rest of eternity. He's not coming back to the earth. And so he's a creature. He's a very powerful creature, but he is was a human being for 30-odd years, but he's not anymore.
Rob Bowman is our guest. We're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusions. We're kind of sidling our way back to the blood transfusion because, of course, why is it so important for them to obey these authoritative statements of the Watchtower magazine? Because their Jesus isn't a savior. If your salvation is by works, then obedience to your authority, in the case of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower magazine, that's what saves you. We'll talk about that after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Where a lot of religions may teach things such as hellfire, immortality of the soul, and Trinity, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe those teachings. We take the Bible very literally and believe the Bible for what it is. We look for the truth in the Bible.
Again, that's Justine LeClaire. She's a Jehovah's Witness in Cumming, Georgia. featured on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly a story that they were doing on blood transfusions and Jehovah's Witnesses. Rob Bowman is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Before the break, Rob, we were talking about some of the basic doctrines that are rejected by Jehovah's Witnesses, and we were kind of working our way toward the person of Christ, and you started on the other side of the break to describe that. Is Jesus Savior in any sense, according to Jehovah's Witness teaching?
Well, they would certainly say that he is. However, when you read the fine print of what that means in Jehovah's Witness doctrine, what Jesus did in dying was that he provided an opportunity, a kind of a second chance for people to clean up their lives and become obedient to Jehovah God. And if they do that, Jesus' death gives them that second chance. But they have to not only accept what Jesus did for them in dying, but they also have to respond by living a very rigorously proper life according to the rules of the Jehovah's Witness religion, which include not only obvious biblical requirements not to commit adultery and murder and theft and so forth, but also no blood transfusions, no celebrating Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No wearing crosses because Jesus didn't die on a cross. It's a pagan symbol. No celebrating birthdays. You just can make a long list of all the taboos that they have developed that you have to maintain. You have to obey those or you will be kicked out and you will lose out on eternal life. And one of those, of course, we've been talking about is their prohibition on blood transfusions.
Is this where the, well, it sounds like near absolute authority of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society comes in?
Well, yes, the organization exerts a tremendous authority in the religion in that Jehovah's Witnesses' decisions as to what they will do or not do are based on what the organization tells them the Bible teaches, not on the Bible alone. The test of this is, if you are a Jehovah's Witness in good standing and you come to the personal conviction that there's nothing immoral about a blood transfusion, can you go ahead and give or receive a blood transfusion without repercussions? The answer is no. They will kick you out. They will say you have lost out on your chance for eternal life, and they will shun you. And they will tell you this. Even if you think the organization is wrong, it's not your prerogative to correct Jehovah's organization. You must wait for Jehovah to make the correction. When Jehovah tells the organization to change their doctrine or their practice, then it will be okay to change it. So you're supposed to wait, even if you're convinced the organization is wrong, until the organization catches up with what you've already concluded. So it's really the organization that's the authority here, not the Bible.
And do we have any sense, any knowledge of who is promulgating these taboos, who promulgates the various pronouncements in Watchtower magazine?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses used to be led by rather charismatic individuals who were the president, each took turns as being the president of the Watchtower Society. Charles Taze Russell, the founder, Judge Rutherford after Russell died. Then there was a transitional period where you had a couple of presidents who were very much strong leaders of the organization. However, they moved toward a more bureaucratic style of organization. And now the leadership of the organization really is run like a business with a board of directors. And the individual who happens to be the president at the time, it has receded into the background in significance. He doesn't set the tone. He doesn't decide what the organization teaches. That's all done in committee. The writing department produces the articles that everybody reads, that they all have to go by, and that department is run by the board of directors, as I called them. It's commonly known as the governing body. But they make these decisions sort of from the top down by committee, and there is a strong emphasis now toward continuity, keeping things as close to being the same as they've always been, making only incremental changes if they change anything at all, because there is no one who is now regarded as some kind of divinely guided teacher, but rather they are simply trying to maintain what they already have.
So do we know of any historical occasion that had them halfway into their history decide that blood transfusions were forbidden by Jehovah?
Well, you know, in the 1940s, for the first half of that decade, they were saying there was nothing wrong with it. And then all of a sudden, they had an article come out in 1945 that said, 1944, that said that it was wrong. And it didn't even quite catch up with everybody throughout the world. So an article came out in the Dutch version of the their publication the next year saying that blood transfusions were fine. And they had to sort of, you know, get everybody on board. So the president of the organization at that time, Nathan Knorr, simply apparently decided in 1944 that the Bible forbade blood transfusions and changed the organization's teaching on a dime. There was no debate. There was no discussion about it. There was no getting together with biblical scholars to see what the scripture really said. The president of the organization dictated that was the new doctrine, and everybody had to fall in line, and if they didn't, they got kicked out.
Can we also find the other kind of peculiar teachings that they have, the other taboos that they have cropping up somewhere later in their history? Have other prohibitions kind of been arbitrarily set this way?
Sure. All of them show up at some point in the Watchtower magazine. The Watchtower magazine is regarded by Jehovah's Witnesses as God feeding his people through his servant organization. So whatever the Watchtower serves up, you have to eat it, and you have to accept all of it as coming from God. And they would deny claiming to be divinely inspired prophets, but they are functionally operating more or less in the same way, because you are not allowed to question and reject anything that's in the Watchtower magazine. It's not like reading Moody Monthly or Christianity Today. It's really more like reading something that is regarded tacitly as if it were scripture, even though they say it isn't. So throughout their history, they would come up with these things and say, you know, we've been studying the Bible, and the Bible says that birthdays are bad, they're of the devil, and so don't do it. And people would, you know, say, okay, and they would fall in line for the most part. There have been times when people have risen up and a lot of people have said, wait a minute, where is that? And they've abandoned it, but usually it's been one at a time.
So let's go back through the two places or the several places where they feel they are justified biblically for forbidding blood transfusions. The Old Testament passage prohibiting a consumption of blood. What is that passage, and how would we respond to their contention?
Well, two passages would stand out in the Old Testament. Genesis 9, where God tells Noah that human beings may eat animal meat, but they may not eat it with the blood in it. And a similar statement is made in Leviticus 17, where the blood that is in an animal's meat is to be poured out and sacrificed in animal sacrifices, but may not be eaten along with the meat. The priest could eat the meat, but they could not eat the blood. And then there's a reference in Acts 15 where the Jerusalem church leadership advised Gentile Christians in other parts of the area there that they could be Christians and be Gentiles, and they didn't have to get circumcised and do the other things that were in the Mosaic Law. But there were a few things they asked them not to do, and one of them was to abstain from blood. Now, all of these references are talking about something that's very understandable, and most cultures have practiced it in most parts of the world until recently, and that is people actually would eat the blood in the meat or even apart from the meat. They wouldn't drain it out of the blood, or if they did, they ate it by itself. Most people today do not do that, at least not in the West, but they used to do it everywhere, and it was a very common practice. The Bible in the Old Testament told the Jews not to do that. the Jerusalem Christians asked Gentile Christians not to do it, but that's not what people are doing when they get a blood transfusion. They're not eating blood with or without the animal fat or flesh. A blood transfusion is an entirely different operation or procedure.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Rob, if I'm a Jehovah's Witness, is it true that I pretty much have to wait for the latest edition of the Watchtower magazine to arrive to find out today, now, currently, what it is I'm supposed to believe on the pain of my own salvation?
Well, you basically have to go by what you've been taught up to this moment, but if they change their mind and issue a new rule in the next issue of the Watchtower, you're expected to go along. And if they decide, hey, you know what, we decided blood transfusions are okay after all, there will be no apologies to all the people whose lives were messed up when the Jehovah's Witnesses shunned them because they didn't accept it, or when their children died because they gave them blood transfusions or any of those things.
Rob Bowman is Director of Research for the Institute for Religious Research based in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's author of the books Why You Should Believe in the Trinity, An Answer to Jehovah's Witnesses, and Putting Jesus in His Place, The Case for the Deity of Christ. You'll find links to the Institute for Religious Research at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rob, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, Chris Roseborough is going to join us from Fighting for the Faith. You might have seen this in the news. Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, one of the largest and I think arguably most influential evangelical pan-denominational seminaries in the United States, perhaps even in the world, has taken a symbolic step toward the toleration of homosexuality by allowing a group called One Table, formed last fall, a student group, to remain in spite of their policy that still says homosexuality is wrong. We'll find out what's going on and why this move in evangelicalism with Chris Roseborough right after this.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself, the knowledge of his perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Delivering apologetics artillery right on target. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.